The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Football is in the air again. For the first time in 707 days, there'll be an NFL preseason game just 4 hours from right now featuring the Cowboys and Steelers in the Hall of Fame game. And we are just 5 weeks away from the Cowboys and Bucks kicking off the regular season. We'll have all of that and much more covered on NFL Live today. I'm Field Yates. You see these two behind me, Marcus Spears and Keyshawn Johnson. We'll get to them in just a moment. But first, we're going to talk to Adam Schefter, who will kick things off as we look ahead to tonight's Hall of Fame game. Schefty, we know it's the preseason, and we know that we don't always see everybody on the field, including some notable players tonight. What more can you tell us?
What's interesting, Field, is in that montage of highlights we ran, of the players you highlighted, Ben Roethlisberger, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, none of them will play tonight. And the starting quarterbacks, of course, also will not play. No Ben Roethlisberger tonight for the Pittsburgh Steelers. No Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys. Instead, you will see Mason Rudolph start against Garrett Gilbert. That's what an extra preseason game is all about. It's about the guys at the back end of the roster fighting to make the roster in the end, and teams resting their regulars and being smart, getting players like Ben Roethlisberger and Dak Prescott extra rest and not subjecting them to any extra added punishment.
To some, the preseason means very little, Adam, but to others, it could mean everything, as you highlighted. Chef to be this throughout the show. Looking forward to catching up with him in just a moment. And now we go live to the Hall of Fame game itself in Canton, Ohio. And when Sal Palantonio's on your television, you know that football is near. Sal Pal, great to see you. And some big names are obviously missing tonight. But who should we be watching for tonight from the Cowboys specifically first?
Wait a second. The big names are not missing. I'm here. You're here. Keyshawn's here. Marcus Spears
right.
is here. We're talking football in the month of August in Canton, Ohio, the birthplace of pro football in America. And it's going to be a spectacular night. Stands are going to be filled with about 20,000 people. First time a capacity crowd in an NFL game in more than 2 years. And remember, this game was canceled last year. And for the Dallas Cowboys, there'll be a lot of focus on the defense, in particular Micah Parsons, their first-round pick out of Penn State. All the reports that I'm getting from here about camp in California is that Micah Parsons has lit it up in Dan Quinn's new defense, and he's very important to what the Cowboys want to do to resuscitate a defense that was 28th in the league last year in points allowed. It'll be Parsons tonight who will really be the guy that you will be focused on when the Cowboys are on the field on defense.
Of course, Parsons' first football game in about 2 seasons as he opted out of last year. But let's go to the Pittsburgh side of this game, Sal. Who are a couple of the players the Steelers will be focusing on tonight?
Well, let's start with Najee Harris, the rookie running back out of Alabama. Drafted in the first round to save Big Ben's bacon, right? They've got to run the football. They were last in the league last year in running offense. And Mike Tomlin said he wants to see Najee Harris get a lot of work. That means into the second quarter for Najee Harris. And then Dwayne Haskins, he will play quarterback after Mason Rudolph in this game. Dwayne Haskins trying to revive his career with the Steelers. I was at Steelers camp last week. I talked to Ben Roethlisberger about Dwayne Haskins. And Haskins has been throwing the ball extremely well. He's picking up the new offense under Matt Canada extremely well. And it's time for him to really show up on the field and show his commitment to this football team.
It will be quite the comeback story for the former first-round pick. Sal Pal, great catching up. We'll talk to you again a little bit later on in the show. All right, Key, so let's get to the game itself. Again, this may not mean much to some, but it means a lot to others, including some of the players we'll see tonight, including Dwayne Haskins, someone to watch tonight. Do you think he has the ability to be a part of the Steelers' long-term succession plan at quarterback?
I think he does. I think he has an opportunity here in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin and him, they both share the same agent, okay? So there's a relationship that's already there. Mike Tomlin realizes that Dwayne Haskins is not his ability on the field. It's what he did off the field. It's being young. It's not having the pro football mentality. It's almost like he was too young to come out of Ohio State and start in the National Football League with the Washington football team immediately. If you go back to his rookie year, he was signing autographs at the end of a game before the game was even over on the sideline. That's youth. That's immaturity. The things that he did to get run out of Washington, it wasn't his play necessarily on the field. It was the immaturity off the field. So if he can correct that, here he will be in long-term plans in Pittsburgh for sure.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, I like that point, Key. And if you think back to when Dwayne Haskins was drafted, it never was a question about his ability and the talent level and the skill set. And let me say this, too, because Key pointed that out, which is absolutely right about it, is off-the-field problems. There is not a coach in the NFL I would rather have a young guy go to that needs to be corrected than him go get coached under Mike Tomlin and get ingrained in the culture that he's created in Pittsburgh. So if Dwayne Haskins is going to have success and if he's going to thrive, he needs to not only take in everything that he's learning from the culture in Pittsburgh, but Mike Tomlin as well, because it's hard. Listen to me clearly. It is hard not to succeed in Pittsburgh, especially when they're giving you all of the opportunities to thrive and do well. And you look at this team from a football standpoint, we talked about without Big Ben a couple years ago was a playoff team. So we know he's getting coached, and we know he's in a great situation. Tonight, Dwayne Haskins has an opportunity to put his skill set on display, but not only that, show kind of that maturity that should come from being around Mike Tomlin and the rest of this Pittsburgh Steelers squad.
It's all about the maturity and taking the next step. I think we all have played in the National Football League. We're young once, and we did dumb things our first couple years. And then all of a sudden, it clicked for us, and we stopped doing those things. And I think this is a turning point in Dwayne Haskins' career. This will be his third year in the National Football League. I know everybody look at it and say, he got cut. Yeah, but he didn't get cut because of his play. It was the stupidity and the things that he created for himself off the field. His ability is, he was drafted in the first round for a reason. There was a conversation where he should go. Should he be in the top 5, 6, 7 players taken? Is he going to go in front of Daniel Jones? All of those sort of things were taking place prior to him being drafted by Washington. So we know he has talent, but can his talent catch up to that brain that wasn't operating correctly?
Well, certainly Haskins has been humbled. A good opportunity to bounce back in Pittsburgh. But let's go to the other team involved tonight, as all eyes are on the defense for the Cowboys, as Sal mentioned. But Swagoo, who's a guy that you are specifically watching for?
Yeah, for me, it's Donovan Wilson. And I know that's a name that's really off the radar, the strong safety for the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of going into that Cam Chancellor role, being an enforcer in the middle of the field, and one of those guys that unsungly for the Legion of Boom was the guy that set the tone. And I believe Donovan Wilson has that in his repertoire. If you hear coaches talk about how he approaches the game, his physicality, his mindset, the things that he can do from a communication standpoint. Obviously, we know Dallas brought in Malik Hooker, who, if not injured, plays at a very high level. So those two guys on the back end, everybody's enamored with Micah Parsons, and we want to see what Jalen Smith and Vander Esch look like if those guys get time. Donovan Wilson is a guy that I think is going to play an instrumental part in this defense being better than they were last year. I'll have my eyes squarely on him tonight.
Michael Parsons, you mentioned, is a key for the Dallas Cowboys defense. He didn't play last year. He opted out in college, so he gets an opportunity to now get back in the fold and see some live action in terms of football. If you go back to the days of Dan Quinn and the Seattle Seahawks and look what he was able to do with that defense and Bobby Wagner and that group, Cam Chancellor and those guys, I think he can duplicate the same thing with these guys in Dallas. They're young. They got a high motor. And if we go and look at the Dallas Cowboys as a whole, it was never really about the offense. It was all about fixing the defense, and I think they finally will get an opportunity to do that.
Well, Keith, to your point, the Cowboys selected 8 defensive players this year. That was the most of any NFL team, and their most as a franchise since
they knew what we knew, babyface.
That's right. Hey, they need some more swagoos on that defensive line. That much is for sure right now in Dallas. All right, time to do a run around the league with the latest notes, and we turn back to Adam Schefter for more. Schefter, what can you tell us about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati?
Well, Field, if you listen to Tyler Boyd, the Bengals wide receiver, he said that Joe Burrow's got a great presence in the huddle, but still looks a little iffy on the field, a reflection of his knee. Now, I don't think it's anything terribly worrisome yet, but the fact that a Bengals teammate pointed out that Joe Burrow hasn't looked as comfortable as you might think, I think it's something that bears watching in the future. Still, Burrow on track to be ready for the regular season opener. In Tampa, the Buccaneers have signed the great defensive coordinator Todd Bowles to a 3-year extension that continues to make him the highest paid defensive coordinator in the game. This does not preclude him from taking a head coaching job. You'll remember last year, he was on the head coaching interview circuit, as he should have been. He will be again this upcoming season after the regular season. Todd Bowles, though, does have an extension from the Buccaneers. And Kirk Cousins right now is back off the COVID list, the reserve COVID-19 list. He was on there. He has been unvaccinated, did not want to talk about that today. He said he's willing to put up a shield around him in meeting rooms. Mike Zimmer obviously not pleased with the way the situation has developed with the Vikings and their quarterbacks this offseason, but Cousins now back at practice along with the rest of the other Viking quarterbacks. And one other note, former Seahawks linebacker K.J. Wright in Las Vegas visiting with the Raiders, whose defensive coordinator Gus Bradley once coached him in Seattle, Field.
That's one of those fits, Adam, that just makes too much sense, not for both sides to explore. We'll see where that one ends up. From the West Coast all the way to the East Coast, where the Ravens made their wide receiver room over this offseason, using first and fourth round picks on Rashad Bateman and Tylan Wallace, respectively. The team also added veteran Sammy Watkins on a 1-year free agent contract to go along with Marquise Hollywood Brown. Offensive coordinator Greg Roman chimed in on the new look group and passing game, saying this: 2 years ago, we were number one in the league in pass efficiency. We want to get back to that. We don't care about passing yards. We care about passing efficiency. People talk about receivers not being involved. Well, they got 34 touchdowns over the last 2 years. We'll be strategic about how we use guys, but when teams try to overload us on the run, we want to hurt them. So Greg Roman's absolutely right about the Ravens passing game back in 2019. While they ranked 27th in pass yards, they led the NFL in QBR and passing touchdowns. Last year, their QBR rank slipped all the way down to 9th, and they were 13th in passing touchdowns, which brings us to their new and improved receiving group. Does this group help Baltimore return to its 2019 efficiency? That's one of the big questions that we are asking right now. And Swagoo, is this the right approach for the Ravens to take offensively this year, focusing in on passing efficiency?
Absolutely. Phil, listen, your quarterback was the MVP. You had a lot of success, and you kept teams off balance. I always think back to when Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens opened up against the Miami Dolphins 2 years ago, and I think he had 350 in that game and did a phenomenal job. And we all know and respect what the Baltimore Ravens do on the ground. You don't get away from what's dominant. That is not something I've been screaming about. The offensive passing efficiency. When I've been screaming, evolve the passing game, it is literally what Greg Roman just said. Give people more to worry about. There were teams that would come in. And look, the number, you could be a 100% free throw shooter if you go 2 for 2 for an entire year. At the end of the year, they're going to say, man, he was a 100% shooter. Well, he only took 2, right? The Ravens run the ball way more than everybody else, as they should, because they're dominant. But we all have watched the movie play out enough now to know that you're going to need to be highly effective passing the football in order to win the Super Bowl. And they have not been able to do that at a high enough level at those high-pressure moments. And that's not an indictment on Lamar. It ain't like Lamar can't throw. It's not an indictment on the talent that Mark Andrews has had. Greg Roman hit the nail on the head. When we need to, we have to be able to do it at a high enough level if we're going to beat Patrick Mahomes or whoever else to get to a championship.
I think one of the things is we live in a world of fantasy football, statistics. Everybody wants to see big numbers at the end when they look at the box scores. But being efficient is how you win football games. Hitting the target. You don't have to be a 600-yard passer in a game, a 5,000-yard passer over the course of the season. But when you throw the football, you need to do it well. And when I look at the Baltimore Ravens receiving core, they have a veteran in Sammy Watkins who missed time last year, only had 37 receptions. Hollywood Brown had 58 receptions a year ago for the Baltimore Ravens, but he only averaged 13 yards a catch to be a home run hitter. You've got to hit the downtown home runs and make them count. They went out and drafted Bateman from Minnesota because they needed a big physical target. And I think when you look at those three guys, they'll be able to deliver along with Lamar in the passing game. But I'm not asking Lamar to throw for 4,500 yards. What I'm asking him to do is when you do throw, connect and make the other team pay for it. You think about the last two Super Bowl winners, Phil, and you look at the numbers on Tom Brady. He was efficient in the Super Bowl, and they won. And you look at Patrick Mahomes, outside of the two interceptions, he was efficient when they won the Super Bowl. He did his job, and I think that's what Lamar has to do for everybody to kind of get off this passing. He needs to throw. He needs to do this. And on top of that, they're using him a little bit more underneath the center, supposedly, this year.
Key, let me ask you a question, man, because you played in the league. You were a one, right? And the way I learned, you got to identify a number one wide receiver. But you and I were talking, like, who is the one for the Ravens? And if they don't have one, how do they go about making this passing game dynamic enough for people to worry about it as opposed to worrying about one guy that can break you back in the game?
Look, Marcus, they don't have a one, and they don't need a one to be efficient. I mean, they just don't. To be successful, you don't have to have a guy have 95 catches and the next guy below him with 45. Everybody on the Ravens, they're all going to come in that 60, 45 to 60 catch type statistical numbers, but they got to be efficient. They got to make it count. And when you make it count is when you hurt the other team. Yeah. And I think that that's what they talk about when they say to themselves, okay, we got to be more efficient. When we drop back the throw, we want to make sure that we're hitting that 68, 70% mark, not that 48% mark, because that's not going to help you win football games.
Well, as we've talked about, if this passing game does not improve, it won't be due to a lack of investment. But the big thing for Baltimore is they want to get over the hump. The last 3 years they've made the playoffs, but failed to make it past the divisional round each time. We'll see if that new-look offense puts them in a position to change that. How about these Cowboys? We have these two former Cowboys on our crew today, Marcus Spears and Keyshawn Johnson. Back in 2005, both were donning the star under head coach Bill Parcells, and 16 years later, they're stuck with me. You tell me if things are going better or worse. Marcus, you spent the majority of your career in Dallas. What was it like walking into that locker room and that storied franchise?
Man, it was phenomenal. And the one thing I remember first is I had a bunch of vets. Key was one of those vets. Greg Ellis, Leroy Glover, just a bunch of guys, man, that had been in this league for a long time and understood how to go about it. So those guys helped me become a pro really fast. And the one thing was, the one thing they used to always say, and Key has told me this before, I don't know if you remember, the faster you can slow the game down, the better you'll be at this game. And that's the one thing that always resonated with me. So I always wanted to feel that moment when I was just playing and not thinking about a thousand things. And then one similar moment comes back when I was little and I watched the Dallas Cowboys on Hard Knocks. And there was this magician called David Blaine that went into the locker room. And David Blaine was young. He's a phenomenal magician. Everybody know him. Has done residencies in Las Vegas. And he had Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Nate Newton and Leon Lett. All of those guys were freaked out about the trick that he did. And I remember saying to myself, man, that looked fun. It looked like they have fun in Dallas playing football. And in 2005, I was drafted. And Phil, babyface, I had a lot of fun, bro.
You know, I remember some of those things with Marcus, but playing for the Cowboys, growing up, having to watch them on CBS every Sunday morning, it was one of those deals where it was just like, okay, I'm going to get my opportunity to play for the Cowboys. When I was coming out in 96 and I was with Jimmy Johnson pre-draft, and I told him, I was like, man, you need to come get me. But they couldn't get up that high to draft anybody at my position. So later on, when I had the opportunity to go to Dallas in my career, I wanted to do it. I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to go play for the Cowboys. It was either the Raiders or the Cowboys growing up for me. And just being able to wear that star, even to this day, I can run into Cowboy fans any and everywhere. And they always want to know, how do you think the Cowboys are going to do? They can have a conversation about ESPN, about radio shows, TV, yeah. But they end that conversation, what do you think the Cowboys are going to do? How do you think my Cowboys are going to be? It's crazy. It's one of those franchises in professional sports, the Yankees, the Lakers, and the Cowboys, I feel like everybody wants to play for.
Yep.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Key can relate to this, man. When you playing, you get like, it used to blow my mind. You get mail from Australia and Italy and countries where you like, man, do they even know what American football is? But you get this fan mail, in your locker room, in your locker, and you like, dang, man, this really is bigger than just playing football in America. Pretty much. And then another thing that came to mind when Key was talking, dude, you got guys that play for the Cowboys that transition in the media, and it seems like it's seamless. But and I used to fight with the whole idea of I need to like separate myself and make sure that people don't just look at me as a football player or a Dallas Cowboy, because mentally you think that I need to get acclimated to what's after football. I make no mistake about it. Playing for the Dallas Cowboys helped me sit in this seat right now. It's helping a lot of guys still make money because they done the star on their helmet. So that's a big part of playing for that franchise, too, that I want to mention.
And you can say whatever you want about Jerry Jones, but one thing is for sure, he makes sure that the former Cowboys are always a part of the Cowboys family. All right, so while the Cowboys and Steelers are playing a preseason game tonight, can't wait, all the other teams will have to wait until next week. Let's check in with some of them in our Read and React segment today. And the saga of Aaron Rodgers may not be quite over yet, but he's at least back with the pack for the 2021 season. All eyes will remain on the MVP's standing with the franchise during this year. Here's Rodgers on where his relationship with the front office stands as of right now.
I think it's a work in progress for sure. I mean, I think, you know, relationships aren't formed in a matter of a couple of days. You know, there's time where the respect grows and the communication follows. You know, I think the greatest relationships that you have, you know, with your friends and loved ones involve conversations that flow. You know, you can not talk to a close friend for a few months and pick up right where you left off.
Shefty, what more can you add to this ongoing situation in Green Bay?
Well, Fields, here's the encouraging part. Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay, and the lines of communication between he and the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, are at least open. Back in the day, Michael Jordan, I don't believe, even spoke with Jerry Krause. These two are at least communicating, whatever that means at this point in time, although this entire situation, again, is tabled until after the season, when Aaron Rodgers will have the freedom to help decide where he would like to play in 2022.
Yeah, let's check back in March on this one. The Bears are insistent that Andy Dalton will be their starting quarterback when the season begins, but Justin Fields continues to show well during preseason. As a matter of fact, his early returns are already drawing lofty comparisons. Here's tight end Jimmy Graham with his thoughts on the rookie quarterback up to this point.
Man, I love the kid. You know, he sits beside me in the locker room, and man, he wants to be good. You know, and he wants to be great. Man, he puts in the work. The guy really, really can throw the ball. You know, that's been impressive to see his arm strength, especially, you know, the ability to make plays while you're running. I think, you know, he's going to have it's been impressive to see him so young, so focused. And I can tell, you know, it definitely reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson.
How about that, Marcus? Does this stamp of approval for a veteran player help Justin Fields?
It's huge, babyface. And I had a lot of friends growing up that was insistent that they'll never get married until they met the right one. Now they've been married 15 years and got 3 kids. So you can insist what the hell you want to insist, but with the better option, or when something comes along that is worth taking a hold, you do it. Matt Nagy, he's in your lap. Justin Fields, week one starter, make your team better now, and the stamp of approval from a veteran does nothing but promote what we've been hearing about Justin Fields out of camp.
Well, interestingly enough, the Bears aren't going to name Justin Fields their starting time soon, and the Eagles aren't yet ready to name Jalen Hurts their starting quarterback, at least for week one, as the team has stopped short of naming any starter up to this point. So Joe Flacco's a top backup, but it seems unlikely the job will go to someone besides Hurts. Here's head coach Nick Sirianni on when he may name a starter.
Yeah, there's just no rush there on having to do that, and we just want him to continue to impress and show like he has, and yeah, we're just not there yet.
Key, is waiting to name Jalen Hurts the starter the right move, actually?
I think it is the right move, Phil. If you think about it, what's the rush? What's the big rush? Yeah, look, it's preseason, it's training camp. You know Joe Flacco's not going to be the starter, but what if? Over the last month or so, we all keep hearing that maybe there's a Deshaun Watson potential sighting can land in Philly. If he names Jalen Hurts the starter now, then he has to take it back from him in unstarting a few weeks from now. How would that look? How would that feel to the young man?
Yeah, it's certainly one of the sort of rumors that's percolating right now, and who better to clear up the potential speculation than Adam. And Shefty, what more can you tell us as it pertains to Deshaun Watson and potentially the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, Phil, there continues to be a lot of speculation about this, but the fact of the matter is this. The two sides, the Eagles and the Texans, have not had any significant discussions regarding a Deshaun Watson trade at all this summer. Now, that doesn't mean that couldn't change this week, next month, at some point in time, but the Texans have been slow playing this and have been very, very slow to take calls and take offers from other teams, and you have the entire legal situation hanging over Deshaun Watson. He's scheduled to be deposed in February. The case threatens to go on until then. He doesn't want to settle because he continues to maintain that he hasn't done anything wrong while there are still 22 pending civil lawsuits out there. So there is a lot of uncertainty, and because of that, that prevents teams from trading him. The Texans haven't been engaging teams in making a deal, and that whole situation is on hold, which means the Eagles might as well go ahead and name Jalen Hurts the starter, because he sure looks like he's going to be starting opening day unless Ron Jaworski wants to make a comeback.
I think Josh is probably enjoying golf and retirement plenty right now. So he seems like Jalen Hurts will indeed be the starting quarterback in Philadelphia, at least for now. After a wait that has felt like an eternity, football is back. Tonight marks the return of the Hall of Fame game as Pittsburgh and Dallas will kick off our NFL preseason action. And Sal Palantonio is back with us now, live from Canton, site of tonight's Hall of Fame game. Sal, what more can you tell us ahead of this game tonight?
Tonight in the Hall of Fame game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys, it'll be two rookies, two future stars of the NFL, colliding on the football field. Rookie running back Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's here to save Big Ben's bacon. Mike Tomlin said he will get plenty of work tonight into the second quarter. Look for 10 to 12 carries. And then when he looks at the Cowboys' defense, he'll look at Micah Parsons, the linebacker out of Penn State, the first-round pick, the rookie who's had a tremendous camp for the Cowboys in Dan Quinn's new defense.
Great to see Sal Pal already in midseason form. There's 192 days from the Super Bowl. That's how long it's been. And 2021 promises to be the longest NFL season ever, with teams playing an unprecedented 17th regular season game. One man who may be unfazed by that, or just about anything, is Bill Belichick. All right, well, Bill Belichick's humor is underrated. His meteorological skills, not quite so much. With rain in the forecast earlier today, Belichick was asked about how the weather might impact the team's practice plans. Here's what he had to say.
Looks like the field will be wet. If it rains, it rains. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's hot, it's hot. It's not, then that's what it is.
All right, a few people know Bill Belichick and his humor and his meteorological skills, like our Patriots reporter Mike Reese, who joins us now. Mike, you never know what Belichick is going to say sometimes or not say, but what have you been able to gather about the Patriots' quarterback situation at training camp?
Well, Field, it felt like a very significant last 2 days here for the Patriots because they learned something very important about rookie quarterback Mac Jones, how he responds to adversity. Tuesday, he had a very tough practice, but the last 2 days, he impressed his teammates with his command at the line of scrimmage, and he talked about this after practice today when he out-repped Cam Newton 2-1. How his connection is growing with offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels and how he's finding his own voice out on the field. Have a listen.
I feel like I'm trying and starting to get to where we're kind of thinking on the same page, and that's how it has to be every day. It starts with the QB, so in terms of the standard, one of the first things we talk about is being loud and confident. So obviously when you're young, confidence kind of comes with playing and getting the reps, but If you know what to do, then just be loud. And if you don't know what to do, be loud. So either way, be loud and be loud together.
As for what it means in the big picture, Bill Belichick has made it clear, Field. He said Cam Newton is the team's starting quarterback. So Mac Jones would have to make a considerable charge for that to change. At the very least, the last 2 days point him in that direction.
Yeah, quite a competition in Foxborough. Mike, as always, great stuff. We appreciate all the insight on the Patriots' potential quarterback battle. All right, so, Keith, you just heard Mike's reports. Are there any concerns about Mac out-repping Cam and making steps in the right direction?
Man, stop, man. It's training camp. You know how many people out-rep Spears and myself doing training camp? Stop. I understand that. I understand he saw that. And one thing I'm disappointed in, Mike, he wasn't in front of Gillette Stadium standing there giving us that report. Instead, he was somewhere different.
But
I think when you look at it, though, Cam Newton, to me, is on a game-to-game type situation, depending on how well he plays and how well the team plays. And Cam knows this. I told him about a month ago when he was on my radio show that if he played anywhere near in the passing game the way he played last year, then he should retire based on everything that they went out there and got him. And he promised me that that wouldn't be the case. So I believe that, you know, it's a competition until it's not a competition. And Cam Newton's going to be the starter opening day. Coach Belichick said it a million times already.
Yeah, I'm with you, Keith. It's the right course of action. Obviously, you not just experience, but making sure that Cam actually has a fair shot at not only the quarterback competition, but to play in a competent offense and in regards to how late he came on board and how limited amount of time he had to get acclimated to what they wanted to do in New England, not to mention getting COVID and not to mention not having the type of weapons that he'll have at his disposal right now. But the most important thing I think you said, Key, was the week-to-week basis. We know when you go up and take – when you take a quarterback at 15, that the plan is for him to be a big part of the future, and you hope Mac Jones turns out to be that way. So when we look at this schedule, which I think will tell a lot more of the story with the New England Patriots, they opened the season with two divisional games, I believe, against the Dolphins and the Jets, mm-hmm. and then the next two being against the Saints – and the Buccaneers, I believe. Those two games in the first 2 weeks of the season will tell us a lot, not only about where Cam is, but what the thinking is with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. Because if it's not successful, and like he said, a week to week, you not only didn't have success for Cam, more than likely you lost a game or two within your division, which puts you behind the eight ball in a major way. So Cam is on the week-to-week, but these two first games are super important.
Hey, Adam, we counting reps now? Is that what we doing?
What do you mean counting the reps, Kate? What does that mean?
Well, they're counting the reps, 2-1. Like, we're really counting the reps.
That happens. Listen, whenever there's a quarterback competition, Key, beat writers are looking for any signs they can get to figure out who's going to be the starting quarterback. But let me tell you this. In New England, it's a lot like what's going on in Chicago, which is a lot like what's going on in San Francisco. Every single one of those places wants the veteran quarterback to be the opening day starter, and every single one of those places has the veteran on track to be the opening day starter. Now, at some point, Mac Jones is going to be the guy in New England. At some point, Justin Fields is going to be the guy in Chicago and Trey Lance in San Francisco. But early on, the teams want to and intend to go with the veterans. We'll see if the rookies can change things up during the preseason at all.
Well, one team that we know is sticking with its veteran, despite having a young quarterback in the cradle, is the Green Bay Packers, which brings us to one more thing. And you may have heard this before. Aaron Rodgers' accuracy is lethal. Check this throw out he did, or he had today. This is target practice. This is about 40 yards into the throwing net right there. Swagoo, how impressive is this? Give us some perspective.
I mean, dude, first of all, it's hard. But the fact that this translates, like, a lot of guys can do a lot of great things with the football when it ain't a rush coming and it ain't pressure. Aaron Rodgers actually does those type of things you just saw in games. And that's what makes him great. And that's why the saga this offseason was the number one thing we talked about. Because this dude do stuff like this in practice and in front of fans and in drill work, but he takes it to Sunday as well.
It makes it look so easy. This should be difficult. This is a ridiculous throw, Key. We've got about 15 seconds left. How impressed are you by this one?
Not at all. Not impressed at all. It's Aaron Rodgers, man.
Oh, come on.
What
you got
to
be impressed by
Aaron Rodgers to do? Well, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Well, apparently I'm more impressed than Key is.
Don't do that blindfolded. I'm not
very impressed.
Like
Jeff is impressed. That's
like
right.
Golf shot tracker.
That is
That's
well done
like.
Right there by Aaron Rodgers. NFL Live is back tomorrow. Same team, same place on ESPN.